Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime! Another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotoyou.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to a very croaky episode 80 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audiotoyou.com. With me on the line once again, Shelton Muller. How are you?
Is this Bruce Williams? Are you sure it's not Barry White?
Oh man, don't make me do that.
My darling, can't get enough of your love, baby.
You don't want to hear me singing. Trust me.
It sounds, you know, look, I'm sure if I was female, I'd be saying, sing, baby, sing. Yeah. But because I'm a bloke and I'm on the other end of the line, and you know, I have seen you in person. No, don't sing for me, please.
I guess what I could do to use it to advantage is to say, this episode of Shutters Inc. is brought to you by Joby.
And you know, you should. We should just use that as a soundbite in every issue. You know, yeah. Very sexy, Bruce. You just got my heart rate going then, and that's really weird. Let me tell you,
sad individual.
But yes, this episode is brought to you again by Joby, and we thank you very much, Joby, for supporting Shutters Inc.
Absolutely,
one of the internet's most popular podcasts.
Yeah,
and to that effect, actually, I got a great email from Will McCandless.
Yeah.
You got that one as
yes,
well?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Now, of course, Will McCandless is of the, he's the famous, the brutal McCandless clan of the North. But apparently they've all moved to Oklahoma.
Right.
You don't want to wear your kilts, apparently, in Oklahoma. But it's such a great name, Will McCandless. I hope I hope he walks around Edmond, Oklahoma, actually speaking like that. That would be fabulous. G'day, Will. How you doing? And thanks very much for your email. And in light of the GorillaPod, you know, that we're talking about, Will says this: I received my GorillaPod several weeks ago and love it. When my 10-year-old daughter isn't using it for her point-and-shoot, I use it with my Nikon remote flash. Very handy. I was surprised by how solid it was, as was I, Will. And, of course, it's good to hear that you're actually thinking of a little bit outside the box and using it, like we've suggested, for your remote flash. Excellent. He says, I still love your show after nearly 80 episodes. Thank you. Unfortunately, we've had 3 months of continuous rain. I wish we'd had 3 months of continuous rain.
Oh, gee, I tell you what, it feels like we've had that here in Sydney.
Yeah, well, in Melbourne, we could really use it, I tell you. So send it down our way, Will, okay? Because we're having to shorten our showers here. The government's asking us to shorten our showers here because we haven't got any water. So, you know, we're all walking around Melbourne stinking at the moment. he says, and I'm deep into a photo funk. I've been thinking a lot lately about what I really want to take photos of and how to develop my style. Technically, I feel I've got most of the technical skills. I just need to start stretching myself. I listen to your show every Monday on the way to and from work. It keeps me thinking about photography and inspires me to continue taking pictures. Thank you. Well, we thank you, Will, for your email and for letting us in on what you call a photo funk. I think that's an interesting expression, and we're gonna talk about that. But appreciate you also talking about the GorillaPod. Now, you've got the one that that we've been talking about in the last week's episode, and that's the standard
original
GorillaPod.
Yep.
But there is the other one. There's the GorillaPod for SLRs.
Yeah. Now, before you go on with this, I thought there was, I don't know if you saw this email as well. It only was addressed to me from Young, and I don't know if that was a first name or a surname. Did you see this one?
I'll read it out.
Hi, Shelton and Bruce. I have the Canon 400D with a couple of lenses, and I'm trying to shop around for a lightweight tripod that might be small enough to strap onto the little backpack and still be useful as a tripod that can support the 400D. For around the $100 to $150 mark.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I couldn't make up my mind, nor could I find the right one for my needs, and I can tell you that it's harder than choosing a first digital SLR camera.
Yes.
So I just thought it would be a good topic to be covered in your podcast, things that we should stay away from, differences or advantages and disadvantages of ball head and pan head and so on. Anyway, while you're deciding on whether you're going to cover the topic on your podcast or not, I'd very much appreciate any advice on choosing a tripod or monopod for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Regards, Young. And I thought, maybe
I've got that email in front of me too now, Bruce.
Yeah, well, maybe.
What were you gonna...
I was going to say, you know, that sort of segs nicely into our discussion today on the GorillaPod SLR.
And we have talked about choosing a tripod, I think, in one of the earlier issues of Shutters Inc. We can certainly address it again, but it's excellent that you bring that up, because you don't need $100 to $150, Young. If you want a carry-around tripod that can support the 400D, now the 400D is a very lightweight SLR, and so, you know, you don't need something huge to do it, but you do need something probably a little bit bigger than the normal GorillaPod, but in which case, as you say, Bruce, I would suggest, Young, that yes, buy yourself a tripod, and we will talk about that, and I'll email you back and make a few suggestions. The Manfrotto 190, the Manfrotto 055, excellent tripods, but we can talk about a few others that are in Velbon and Gitzo as well. But if you want a tripod to carry around that is very sturdy, the GorillaPod SLR Zoom is excellent, because it is carry-aroundable. Is that a word? Carry-aroundable? It's portable? That's the word.
It is for you.
It is for me, yes. I'm an editor, so I have the right to make up words. Even as the Americans have the right to spell color C-O-L-O-R, you know? No, I don't. It's very portable, very, very portable. So I would suggest, first of all, go out and buy one of these, because it is a tripod in the sense that you can just set it up on something and it'll stand there, and it's very, very sturdy. It'll hold, as they say, anything, you know, easily up to 6 pounds, even though it only weighs half a pound itself. Very, very flexible, and, you know, ideal for an SLR with the zoom. That's an incredible thing about it. The fact that you can put it in, you can, you know, wrap it around things, you can wrap it around a branch, a railing, we talked about all this last week, is fabulous. But to be honest with you, the great thing about it is that you can put it in your gadget bag if you're off camping, hiking, walking, shooting for the day, and you don't have to schlep around a thumping great big tripod if indeed your work is not going to require one. And then all of a sudden you think, oh heck, I need something sturdy here. You might want to take a time exposure at a, you know, an unexpected creek bed, or you know, a seaside time exposure, anything. You might want to do a night shot with moving stars. There might be so many things that are unexpected that you need to sturdy your camera on and didn't bring your tripod. Now, I'm a huge, you know, proponent of tripods. You've got to have a good tripod. And Young, we will answer your question. But they are mongrels of things to carry around. You know, it is that simple. That's why a lot of people are put off them, because they love to have them as sturdy objects, but they don't want to carry around something that weighs several pounds. Well, go out and buy yourself, if you're an SLR user, buy yourself the GorillaPod SLR Zoom, because it is very sturdy, it's very well made, and will hold your camera to do whatever you want it to do. You know, it's not, and let's face it, it's not a 5 foot, 6 foot high tripod. It's, you know, I mean, it's not, but with a little bit of ingenuity, you can put it anywhere and work with it. I, like I say, want one.
It's probably not the thing you're going to shoot a wedding with, but as you say, if you're out hiking and that, it's just perfect.
Oh, absolutely. If you're a landscape photographer, I don't know why you wouldn't have one. In fact, I'm going to ring Ian and Dan and a few other guys that are landscape photographers and say, hey, have you got one?
Yeah.
But you know, simply because they are a fabulous thing. They really are. I think it's one of the best little gizmos to hit the photo market in a long time. And as I said last week, I'm not big on gizmos. You know, we carry around enough stuff as it is. And a lot of it, to be honest with you, just gets in the way. You know, when you see it in the shop, you think, oh, this is cool, and you buy it, and then you realize you're schlepping this thing around and you never use it. Well, that wouldn't be the case with the GorillaPod. I've already used mine several times, and that's just for my compact camera. I'm going to Melissa at Joby, if you're listening, I want the big one. All right? I want the big one.
Me too.
Oh, Bruce puts his hand up as well. So we might just have to run another competition. What do you think,
yeah,
Bruce?
Absolutely.
But look, as they say themselves, your SLR is big enough as it is.
Yeah.
So ditch your creaky old tripod. Now, I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. You've got to keep your tripod, but it is the point. Travel light with a GorillaPod SLR, and you know, you can do the things that you want to do in a landscape situation, a hiking situation, a travel photographer. This is an ideal thing, and I wouldn't now, you know, be without my little one. Certainly, it goes in the car. It's in the console of my car, along with my compact, and it goes with me everywhere I go. When my compact, you know, travels with me, so does my little GorillaPod. When I get my GorillaPod SLR, version, the larger version, you know, it will stay as a permanent part in my Lopro gadget bag and will not move from there because it's just such a fabulous thing. So head down to your local photo retailer and check it out, or preferably, even quicker and easier than that, go to www.joby.com and again, have a look at this really great little product. And we really appreciate Joby's support of this. But and for those listening out there, you might be thinking, oh, look, they're just, you know, they're selling it because Joby are supporting it. Well, we actually talked to them and we said, we love your product.
Yeah.
We ran a competition because it's a great product.
Absolutely.
We do appreciate their support. That's for sure. But I wouldn't talk about something that I didn't think was absolutely fabulous. I do enjoy money. I like paying bills and I like eating. And we do appreciate Joby's support and sponsorship. But it's really not about that in the end. This is a really great product. And, you know, it should be owned by that kind of photographer. Not every kind of photographer is going to need it. If all you ever do is shoot in studio, you probably won't ever use it. But how many photographers only shoot in studio? We're all outdoors. We all go for walks and bike rides. We all like to carry our camera with us. We all like to have our little camera on hand. Make sure you've got the little GorillaPod to support it for a few ounces in the case of the little one. And for, you know, half a pound, I think the other one is the big one. I mean, that's, you know, that's lightweight. It's you hardly even notice that. So, you know, just carry around one of those and it'll really, really help you out. But the thing that Will mentions actually is the photo funk idea. The GorillaPod and a compact camera will carry around those two things, and I reckon your photo funk will be gone, a thing of the past. If you have that, and just carrying around those two little items, let me tell you, you'll see things every day on your way to and from work. I was looking at a book the other day in a photo store, and it was about a taxi driver. I think he's a New York taxi driver, and the book is just filled with pictures that he took as he drove his taxi. I don't know if I want to be in the back of that taxi. Oh, look, picture. But really great black and white images from this taxi driver that he just took, you know, through the windscreen, out the window, la, la, la. And he spent his years as a taxi driver seeing the city around him and people around him. And having a little camera on hand is great. Having a GorillaPod to match it would be, you know, is even better. So that would be, we'll talk about that in future dates, Will, because I think it's a problem that attacks all of us, the photo funk, as you call it. I like that. But we'll talk about how to get out of that. But today, I thought we'd talk about positive and negative space. Bruce.
Okay.
Positive and negative space.
And what is positive and negative space?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, positive and negative space are basically the two things you use in an image to highlight, you know, or to make it, to balance it out and to make it work. The positive space, you might say, is the reason for the image, the subject. The negative space is everything else, you might say.
Oh, okay.
Positive space is, say, the area of the photo that you want the viewer to see,
to notice,
on to be, you know, the thing that they say the photo is about. The negative space is everything else. It can actually be, but we use the term negative space, but it can actually be a positive thing and should be used as a positive thing as long as it supports what you're shooting. Now, we've talked about in this podcast many times, because it is a problem, the idea of getting close. And I have an action in Photoshop that's called Crop 10%. And it's funny, I think that I've composed tightly in my photography because I don't like cropping. I like to compose and, you know, and that's it. That's the way I have the image. But I have an action in Photoshop that says Crop 10%. And if I click that often, I go, oh, you know, really, I could have even come in a little closer. I haven't lost anything that would worry me. And I've actually just made the image that little bit more dynamic. So getting close is very important. It's a very dynamic use of positive space because it eradicates the negative space, provided that negative space is actually that, negative, distracting, detracting. When negative space serves no purpose and it detracts, then, you know, get rid of it. But sometimes negative space, that is, that which surrounds the subject and, you know, isn't absolutely necessary, sometimes it can't be avoided. And in those situations, you need to be smart. and think about how you can highlight the subject despite the fact that you can't get close enough or other circumstances arise wherein you've got a lot of negative space. Now, we've talked about depth of field and how that can eradicate, you know, negative space or make it less obtrusive in the image. Mm-hmm. But we can actually use negative space to highlight or support the subject. Now, to clarify this a little, let's say I was holding out a piece of white A4 paper, right? Now, that's just a big sheet of negative space. There's nothing on it. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, let's say I take a felt pen and I put a little round coin-sized circle somewhere in that, and I said to you, Bruce, what's this? What is this? You would suddenly say to me, oh, that's a black dot. Yeah. Now, a moment ago, it was an A4 piece of white paper. Now you say, oh, it's a black dot.
Yep.
And that's the power of positive and negative space. In this particular case, you concentrate on the black dot. It's like, you know, if you wear a white shirt and suddenly you get a coffee stain on it. You know, it doesn't matter how much white shirt you're wearing, everybody's going to see the coffee stain. Okay, yeah. So negative space can actually be a good thing, provided that we use it well. Let's think about what kind of things negative space can actually be, though. It could be bad lighting, distracting lighting. It could be a shape or form in the background. Think of something growing out of somebody's head. You know, that's part of negative space. Color can be a distraction if it takes away from the image. Lines, textures, all sorts of things can actually detract or distract, and they become negative space. So first rule is, as we've often said, get in close, use your positive space, fill your image with positive space. Keep it simple. But if you can't, then remember that it can actually help you highlight the subject. A case in point, you know those optical illusions where you look at it and it's an interplay between blacks and whites and shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And one person might see a beautiful young girl in a swimsuit and another person might see an old lady, a haggard old lady, mm-hmm. right? In the same image.
Yep.
You know, I've seen a few of those. You've probably seen them. They get emailed around.
That's the ones.
Now, you think of that as an interworking of positive and negative space. And people see things differently depending on their upbringing, their preferences, their biases, and that basically is a use of negative and positive space. That which is concentrated upon becomes the image. Now, we should simplify the background whenever we can, but let's not close our mind to the possibilities of the powerful use of negative space. For instance, I'll email this image. I took a photograph in China, just outside the Forbidden City. Now, if any of you have been to Beijing, you'll notice as you come, you go through the entrance of the Forbidden City, you do the tour of the Forbidden City, and you come out the other end, and you enter upon the area that's known as Tiananmen Square. But as you turn and look behind you at the Forbidden City, there's a thumping, great, huge portrait of Mao Zedong. And in front of that, usually, a couple of hundred meters in front of that, is usually a guard, and he just stands there and can't move. And it's a great photograph, and I think I've even talked about it on this podcast before.
Right.
That you can use positive and negative space very effectively in this kind of situation. And I deliberately use negative space to highlight the positive space. So please go to our website if you're listening to this and have a look at what I'm talking about. The positive space is the policeman, and he is down in the bottom right-hand corner of the frame. The negative space is an out-of-focus, using depth of field, portrait that's up on the wall of the Forbidden City of Mao Zedong. Now, the negative space, while negative and a potential distraction, is slightly out of focus, but not so much that you can't tell what it is, and it's used to support the positive space. In other words, it tells you where you are and what that policeman is guarding. He's actually guarding an ideology of political philosophy, a way of life, a set of teachings, and it explains the picture, because there's Mao Zedong and there's this guard standing very seriously in front of that. So in a situation like that, I deliberately have the policeman quite small in the image and a very large negative space to support and bring your eye to and explain the reason for the positive space.
Just out of interest, what was the distance from you to the policeman and the distance from you to the painting?
That's a very good question. I used a telephoto lens, an 80-200.
Yeah.
And zoom, so I was a fair distance away. Let's say, okay, oh, I don't know, 60 meters or so.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
So how far was he from the painting?
100 meters.
Oh,
maybe?
Okay, right.
Yeah, something like that. I'm shocking, yeah, at measuring distances. I really am. But it and I used the lens to compress.
Yeah.
So that, you know, to bring them closer together in the image. And if I'd used a wide angle, it wouldn't have worked. I needed a telephoto, yeah, to compress it and also to minimize the depth of field. But at the same time, make sure that both were in focus enough. Well, certainly the policeman is sharp. But to make sure that it's, you know, in focus enough to, you know, see what the context is. But, you know, sometimes we think that the positive space, the subject, provided it's pretty, provided it's colorful, provided it's dynamic, it's all you need. You know, the prettier the girl, the better the picture. The more dynamic the sunset, the better the picture. The more perfect the flower, the better the picture. But that isn't true. And what we sometimes need to do is interplay them, where just because you've got a great piece of positive space, like a great subject, doesn't all automatically mean that you have a great image. And it's this interplay between what is positive and what is negative, and the comparisons in size between one and the other that make it work. It doesn't always necessarily mean that the positive space needs to be larger. You know, the subject needs to consume more of the image space,
right,
you know, or more of the frame than the negative. Think of, for instance, an image of, well, like we talked about, a black dot on a white piece of paper. Suddenly, that is a black dot. It's not a white piece of paper with a black dot in it. It's a black dot. Think of that in terms of photography. Think of a leaf floating on a very still piece of water, you know, and you know, or a stone, you know, on the ground, just, you know, on a black piece of dirt, whatever. It could be, you know, we can use negative space very powerfully, provided it's not distracting, to highlight the positive space. We sometimes don't think about that. I have spoken, you know, often on this podcast about getting in close, and I believe in that, because the reason that I say that is because people don't know how to use negative space. They allow it in the photograph. They allow this distraction, you know, by, oh, we've got to have this context. We've got to show where people are. We've got to show what they're doing. We've got to, you know, we've gone to all this trouble to go down to the beach to photograph this portrait. We must have lots and lots of beach, lots and lots of cliff, lots and lots of ocean. Well, no, you don't. That's negative space if it detracts from the positive space. But if the negative space doesn't actually do that and highlights the positive, that can be very powerful. Think, so in the next, you know, week or so, however, you know, or however long you want to give this experiment of yours, think of those things that, that, you know, the situations that arise in our photography whereby, oh, hang on, all right, I've come in close, actually do this, and we're gonna upload some photographs I've taken where this works. Look at the situation you're photographing, and of course, do the first thing we should do, and that's, to me, the first rule of photography: keep it simple and get close. That's, to me, the first rule of a successful image. But then pull back. And do this as an exercise and say, okay, now that I've pulled back, I've either zoomed back or physically removed myself from the subject and to include a lot more potentially negative space, how can I use that negative space to highlight the positive? And then work that through. And then every time a situation arises whereby you have no control over the negative space, you will learn to use it wisely. Or you'll encounter a situation where you'll actually learn to think in terms of utilizing the negative space to your advantage. It's a very powerful method in photography that we often don't consider or we misuse, and can really be, can highlight a subject like you would never consider. And again, we hearken back to a black dot on a white piece of paper. You know, nothing distracts you on that white piece of paper from the black dot. That's why it's a picture of a black dot or a black square, whatever. It's not a white piece of paper with a tiny dot on it anymore. Think of that in your images, and they can become very, very, very powerful indeed. Don't also close your eye, your mind, as we spoke about with the idea of the Chinese policeman in Beijing, of images within images. Think of perhaps a couple, a bride and groom at a wedding. Right now, if you were to photograph a bride and a groom at a wedding and they were kissing, right, and you were too far away, well, suddenly, you know, that's a boring picture. There's too much distraction, you know, and there's a lot going on. But then, if in the background there is a child, you know, looking up in wonder, right, suddenly you've got powerful negative space, because it actually adds an extra dimension, an extra element, or an extra level of explanation to the image. So all of these things can be very powerful. Images within images. The image within the image is the use of negative and positive space, one explaining and highlighting the other. Or the power of nothingness, the power of black, the power of white, the power of everything else out of focus and one thing in focus. Those things which are called negative space are actually very powerful and very positive in your image. So let's make that. And here, Will, if you want to get out of your photo funk, mate, take your camera out and look for negative space and use it. There's an assignment for us all, mm-hmm. that will, you know, get us out of maybe, it could be, look, it could be a bit of graffiti on a large wall that says procrastinate now. It could be anything that is small within a large framework. It could be a person standing against a wall. It could be one flower in a garden against a negative black concrete mass or wall. It could be a chimney standing out against the sky. It could be anything. But I tell you what, Will, if you want to get out of that photo funk, I think we might have just helped you to do it. Grab your compact or your SLR, grab your GorillaPod, head out and look for negative space and how you can use it to highlight the positive.
And I think what you're saying about, I think it was what you were implying, was take two or three shots and frame each differently. Like maybe shoot one the way you think it needs to be composed, and then shoot one a little bit wider, and then shoot one a little bit tighter. You know, bit like, yeah, when you do a three exposure stop sequence, you know. But in this case, it's actually a framing sequence.
Yes, yes. And take your subject and put it right down the bottom or top corner of a frame.
Yeah. You
know? And let the rest of it, you know, point to, you know, hello, look at me, because, you know, your eye is going to immediately go there, because it's not looking at the negative space.
Even if you observed your rule of thirds and kept it on one of the thirds, but just, you know, widening or tightening the focal length, still keep your subject on the thirds, but just see what it does to the overall image.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be uploading some images at audiotu.com that you can look at to show how negative space can be very powerful. When you're in a situation where you can't do anything about it, that's when the smart photographer says, aha, well, you know, I have the power here, and I am actually going to make this negative space work for me. We have all the tools to do that. We have depth of field, composition, exposure, and light. And you know, we have all the tools to make the balance of positive and negative space work, even when perhaps the situation isn't what we would consider ideal. That's when we, as smart people, we turn around and say, well, I'm the person here, I'm the human being, I have the power, and I'm going to make this situation work for me, rather than just say, oh, I can't make it work, you know, it's too far away. Don't ever think like that, because if you understand the power of the balance between positive and negative space in an image, no matter where you are or what you do, you can, in the vast majority of circumstances, still make your subject work by highlighting it by the balance of positive and negative space.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Shelton.
No worries, Barry. Very interesting. No worries. I better let you get back to recording your next hour. Oh, no, he's dead, isn't he? Sorry. Barry lives, everybody. Barry lives.
Yeah. And again, thank you very much to the people at Joby for support of the podcast. We really appreciate it.
And seriously, go out and get yourself one of these things. I love mine. I really do. Yeah. It's great.
Cool. All right, mate. Well, we will talk with you again next week.
Looking forward to it, everybody. And thank you again for your emails. Please keep us all interested in what you're doing. Love to know what's going on. Oh, and by the way, I did get an email, if you don't mind me just finishing off on this, from Landon Michelson. Thank you very much, Landon. Heard the podcast playing catch up and thought of this guy, one of my Flickr contacts. And then he talks to, and then he leads me to a website where this guy has done a photo a day blog.
Oh, okay.
And I thank you, Landon, actually, for encouraging me, but nothing could have discouraged me more. These photos are fabulous.
Oh, he
does
really?
He does one a day. I'm thinking, okay, nah. nah. I don't think I could match that. I think he lives in a rural area, and this fellow, you know, he has this photo a day thing going on, but he lives in a circumstance whereby no matter where he steps, it seems to be this fabulous place with all sorts of opportunities.
I'm sure everything is relative, mate. I'm sure if you did it, he would probably look at your stuff and go, wow, he just lives in such a photogenic area. You know, so I think the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, perhaps. I'm still considering it, but I really appreciate your encouragement, Landon, but this was just, whoa, you know.
Cool.
Thank you.
You have to send that link through to us as well.
All right, I will.
And of course, remember, I know I've already mentioned it, but I'll mention it again, shuttersincpodcast.com. We'll load up a version of the audiotoyou.com website with only posts that relate to Shutters Inc. So you can bookmark shuttersincpodcast.com, and then you won't get anything that relates to my other podcasts.
Right.
If you don't want it.
You're a busy man, Mr. Williams,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, mate.
All right.
Well, you take care.
You too. You take care of that cold thing.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get rid of it by next week. Yeah.
All right.
All right, mate. Talk to you then.
You bet.
See ya.
Bye.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control-D to bookmark. Audiotoyou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.